This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, or as we await Dave Bourne joining us as he waits ever so patiently at the In-N-Out Burger line. I think he should have flashed the press credentials. Don't you think, Hunter?
That's what I said. Drive the van, wear your shirt, where's your press pass? You know, they might move you right to the front of the line. Come on.
We expect that when Dave joins us, he's going to be bringing us hot, steaming cheeseburgers and fries and shakes. So
we've actually got him on the phone.
Yeah?
We could talk to him.
Let's talk to Dave.
Bring Dave in. Dave, you there?
Of course I am.
You're a brave man to go.
I'm so close I can smell it.
Wow, that's closer. Yeah. When you got in line, could you even see the building?
No. I was in the Volcano's parking lot.
Wow.
That was an hour and a half ago.
And what's your take on why In-N-Out is so popular?
Good burgers and fresh, something different, I guess. And, you know, they only have a couple of things on their menu item, but they're pretty fast and good.
I've got my take on it because I actually lived through when Sonic opened up their restaurant in Bend, Oregon, and watched the line there. They took the shoulder of the highway and turned it into the waiting line to get into Sonic. And that was just regional because there's Sonic's other places in Oregon and Washington. With In-N-Out Burger, it is something that is... The nearest one to us is Medford. And,
true.
You know, so it is creating a stir and a buzz in getting fans from, you know, Eugene area all the way up to possibly Seattle, maybe farther north than that.
Yeah, you got the I-5 connection. Although I'll correct you, it's Grants Pass. The In-N-Out is one in Grants Pass, just a little bit north, about 30 miles north of Medford. Well, thank you for braving it.
I can't believe that I actually drove to Reading to have an In-N-Out Burger one time.
There's a infamous place in Southern California in the LA area, and one of my friends would drive there for like 5 hours from Northern California to have a Tommy's Burgers. Have you ever heard
really?
Of Tommy? Yeah. Tommy's Burgers.
That's crazy.
Make it a double, extra chili. All right, hey, stick with it. Make sure they're still warm when you get here. My wife, by the way, I asked her about the burgers too. And she grew up in Southern California, and she said, the burgers are okay, but I really go for the shakes. The reason I go to In-N-Out Burger is because I like the shakes.
So you want a shake now?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No, she's not here, so we can skip the shake. So
you don't want a shake?
No.
I'm going to have one then.
Okay. All right. Well, tell us all about it and report about it.
Now.
All right. Well, thanks. We're going to talk some local stuff here, and we'll be back with you. And we'll see you when you get here from In-N-Out Burger line in Kaiser.
Yes, I'm about to order. So I'm right there in the drive-through area by the, you know, where the train is on I-5 right there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the In-N-Out Burger's drive-through line starts there. But, I mean, the wait is obviously back to Volcano Stadium.
Holy cow.
And they weren't kidding when they said 2 hour wait. And I'm glad that I'm in the van now because that would be killer in my manual, my left leg right now.
At least they prepped for it and planned ahead, and it wasn't kind of a shock to catch everyone off guard and traffic build up all around the Kaiser Station area. So let's be grateful there.
The parking lots are all open. Everybody can drive through. There's traffic control at each individual intersection, and the waiting line is actually the center turn line from Volcano Stadium all the way up to the In-N-Out Burger.
That's Dave Bourne. He's in line for the first day of In-N-Out Burger in the Kaiser Station, and hopefully it'll also bump up the retail sales of everything that's in Kaiser Station. Like, as long as you're there, might as well shop at Men's Warehouse or Lowe's or any number of the stores out there.
Well, and it's bringing in customers from outside of Kaiser and Salem too. I mean, that's the other big plus.
Absolutely.
All right, Dave, we don't want you to lose your place in line, so we'll be back with you in a little bit.
Okay.
That is Dave Bourne, the fearless Dave Bourne, braving in the KYKN van the treachery of trying to get through the lines at the new In-N-Out Burger who opened today.
Yeah, he offered to get me some food. I said, you know, my wife and teenage children would have a heyday if I ate it without them, so I'll just wait till Valentine's Day.
Oh, I see. Not until you can take the whole family and not have a line.
That's right. That's the way I like it.
All right. We got a few minutes before the break. A couple things I want to mention. And then I want to let you all hear what I heard at the chamber last week with the operations commander of Marion County Sheriffs, Eric Ladd. He was there. We spoke about it briefly early in the week. And, of course, Acting Police Chief Jerry Moore was there. I wrote down a couple of quotes that I want to share with you about their experience in dealing with the homeless. But before we get to that, a couple things. I mentioned this a week ago or so on the Giving Tuesday, and I didn't have these numbers right in front of me. But there's two really important things as we prepare for year end. We prepare for our tax preparation that we're going to start doing in January and so forth. Tax credits that everybody might want to take advantage of. First, the political tax credit. If you're not familiar, you can give $50 a person, $100 a household or a couple to any political candidate or party, and then get that $100 back off your taxes. $100 back. So it costs you nothing. So, and here at KYKN, we're always preaching to be careful who you're voting for and make sure you support the people that you want to have in office. And you can do so with a $50 or $100 check and then get it back on a credit in your tax preparation next year. So this comes to mind because I just recently took advantage of this for a city councilor that I would like to see elected. City councilor, people running for U.S. Congress, people running for Marion County Commissioner, a lot of places, maybe in a political party, you can donate the money and then get it back on your taxes. Take advantage of it while it's still calendar year 2019. Really important that we change the wave of the way some things are going. All right. Second one, cultural trust. If you've given any money to a cultural organization. So think universities even count, but a choir, a theater operation, an arts operation, anything that's in the cultural realm. You can also, let's say you gave $500, Hunter, give $500 to the Willamette Master Chorus. You can write a check to the Oregon Cultural Trust that supports these cultural and arts niceties, and get that $500 back.
Would that like include school choirs?
That is a very good question. There is culturaltrust.org is the website, culturaltrust.org. And you can actually, when you click on it and you say, hey, I want to give, it gives you a list of everybody who qualifies. Okay. And it was long. I was surprised. I saw like Willamette University and Chemeketa are on there. The library is on there. A very broad range of things that if you gifted, then now you're not going to get the money you gifted to the organization back. So it's not quite as nice as the political tax credit. But at this point, you can give more resources to the Cultural Trust in Oregon, and they get the money right back.
Well, that's
and
good.
There are some limits, but a C corporation can do like $2,500, and individuals can do, I think, at least $500 and so forth. But yeah, it's year end. Go ahead and write the check. Do your taxes in January. Get the money right back. Oregon Cultural Trust tax credit. It's really important to determine the distinction between tax credit and tax deduction. You're not, you know, tax deduction, you make $50,000, you give $500 away, you're taxed on $49,500. That's a deduction on your reporting income. Tax credit is, hey, Hunter, you owe $1,000 in taxes, but you gave $500 to the Cultural Trust, so now you only owe $500 instead of $1,000.
I better start giving because I usually end up owing the state of Oregon each and every year. So
there you go. Or, yeah, it'll be $500 or however many dollars less that you owe. And if you haven't given to anybody, the Elsinore Theater, Bush House, Bush Barn, right? The Pentacle, Enlightened Theatrics, any of these, you write them a check, write the Cultural Trust a check and get that part back. All right, good stuff. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to talk to you about all the things that have gone right in the last 19 years as we look towards year end and as we look to elect some different leadership, because I'm not so sure they're going in the direction that we have been going that accomplished all these incredible things in the region. This is Brandon DeHart. I'm here with Hunter. We're waiting on Dave and our In-N-Out Burger. So stick with us on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Dave is usually here with me, but he is out at getting us burgers at In-N-Out Burger on their first day in Kaiser Station. So Hunter is here to help me get through the day. Hunter, we're talking before. I want to say something, talk about something funny, and then we're gonna, as I promised, I'm gonna go through a bunch of things that we need to remember what previous leadership has done, so we can hold the standard and accountability for the current and the upcoming leadership. The Red Box Bowl. I got to say, if you're a listener of Newsmakers, you know I'm a Golden Bear. I went to UC Berkeley. No, not during the hippie years, but I did graduate from that fine institution, the perennially ranked best public college university in the nation. So they get invited to the Red Box Bowl, Hunter, and I know you're a football guy. And the Red Box Bowl, apparently people from the East Coast or something, it doesn't know what the University of California is. They produced all this merchandise, and they produced a poster. The poster has a bunch of images of San Francisco, which Berkeley is not in San Francisco, we might add. And it and the Cal logo says Cal State.
Oops.
Cal State. Folks, I know we're Oregonians here, but so you know. The University of California, the founding campus, the original campus, the flagship campus is University of California, Berkeley, affectionately known as Cal. There's only one Cal. There are 22 or somewhere around there Cal State schools.
Oops.
Completely different division, Hunter.
Uh-oh.
This is like saying that Western Oregon is going to the Rose Bowl.
Well, but we are in Western Oregon. Come on. Well, no, it would be Western Oregon.
Oregon. Let's go to the Rose Bowl. What an incredible oops. How do you not know which university you invited to your bowl game? Really funny. That's going to be one of those marketing snafus that people study in college. If you're going to market something to the mass media and you're inviting an institution, you might want to know what the name of the institution is. Cal State.
And where they're from.
Cal State. All right. By the way, University of California, Berkeley. I haven't been there for years because I'm old, but I remember learning at the time that the university itself and its researchers had more Nobel Prizes than the Soviet Union, which still existed when I was in college there, but the entirety of the Soviet Union, this one college campus. Great place. Apparently, their PR stinks because nobody in the nation knows who Cal is, the University of California. At Berkeley, Go Bears beat the Fighting Illini. They should beat them just because the Illini have this racist mascot.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? So, Illini tribe, in case you're not familiar.
On PC alone, they deserve the win.
Yeah, I'm sure Berkeley's all about PC as well. Hey, okay, some reminders, folks. I'm going to go through these kind of quickly so I don't bore you. But we're talking about city council here and who's on council now and what their priorities are. And a lot of them ran, starting with the councilor from Ward 2, ran on, we need a change of leadership. These people are not doing right by these people. Da, da, da. You need me to protect you against this leadership that is, you know, so detrimental to the city and all that horse malarkey. So let's do a time machine, folks, and let's do a timeline of what's happened since Mayor Janet Taylor and Brad Nanke were elected around the year 2000 and 2002. We built the Conference Center. Yeah, anybody want to argue that that's not great for our city? We built the Croc Center, and actually we didn't, but the Salvation Army did after a very competitive, heavily fundraised application process. It was a $30 million investment with a $30 million and plus change pool of money to help it run into perpetuity. So it was endowed as well. Incredible community asset. We bought and restored the railroad bridge and painted a bright bike and pedestrian bridge. Now, I'll be the first to argue we spent too much money on it, but I think we always do on these public projects. And it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a cool little walk across or a jog across, and you can light it up. We passed $100 million in street and sidewalk repairs and got more than our money's worth. We built new fire stations. We bought new trucks. We upgraded fire emergency power and seismic upgrades to facilities that didn't have them before. And this is circa 2008, so we're moving along the timeline. We helped Chemeketa pass. And by we, I mean the leadership from the Salem Area Chamber to the city council and the mayor. And in collaboration with the school district and the community college, we passed a Chemeketa bond. There's two of them now that we've passed since then. Salem Kaiser Schools, almost $250 million 10 years ago, and over $600 million just a couple years ago. Career Tech School got built, we've talked at length about. Minto Brown has had incredible improvements in replanting and paving, and it's an amazing regional facility. We passed a tree protection ordinance, which nobody on either side liked, which means it's probably good public policy. We built the Mill Creek Corporate Center, in which we now see Amazon with a million square feet, right? All right, stick with me, folks. This is the leadership that Tom Anderson ran against. We're talking about a city council now that did ban plastic bags, killed the bridge, proposed paying themselves, right? And doesn't seem to find still struggling to find a reason to not have people camping in tents on the sidewalk in our downtown core. All right, what else did we do? The Renewable Energy Business Park, the bridge going to Minto Brown, which is spectacular. If you haven't seen it after it's lit up from the bridge, it's beautiful. This information is a couple years old, but who developed new parks, like 13 or 15 new parks in the last couple of decades. For those people who think that the leadership prior to them, the current power block, only cares about money and business interests, are you kidding me? These things are quality of life improvements as long as our arm. Wow. We rehabbed. We maintained 4 still free parking garages in our downtown core. We translated our streetlights to LED. The South Park apartments got developed with a collaboration of a very valuable developer, Mountain West developer, and that was a great success. Built a new senior center. Am I boring you yet, Hunter?
Oh, not quite yet. You know, there's a few good things in there.
A few. Yeah. The Gear Park was built. The facility with soccer. I mean, it's beautiful down there off of State Street with soccer and full-size baseball diamonds. Portland Road streetscape improvements. A bunch of intersections on Lancaster and Wallace. Broadway and Market, $30 million in investments on like 2 blocks. All got done during this period of town. Wayfinder signs downtown, historical markers downtown, improvements to the airport. That's it. Let's go. They're not doing very much. They haven't done very much. Folks, the council we have is the whole point of that list. I want you all to remember them and recognize them and make sure it's still in the public consciousness that things are not business as usual. The group that we have right now on city council, those are not their doing. They ran against the leadership, the philosophy, and the collaboration that accomplished all of those things. Now, I'm not saying everything they're doing is wrong. I'm not saying they're evil human beings. But when it comes to public policies and their priorities, these are not the things they're doing. So since we've had this progressive wing on city council, what do we have to say for that other than what comes top of mind, Hunter?
Third bridge.
No third bridge. Let's kill it. Let's make sure, like Portland, who's dedicated, no matter how big the city gets, to never add a lane of capacity in the Portland metro area. They can grow from 800,000 to 3 million people, and that's why we don't like driving to Portland and driving. How hard is it to get to a Blazer game? How hard is it to get to the airport because of the public policies there? Is that what you want in Salem?
Well, they go beyond that, and they they not only don't add lanes, they take away lanes to put in a pair of tracks or a bike lane or whatever else that feels good at the time.
And you've seen it happen there on Broadway downtown, folks, where we lost parking and we lost a through lane. And what do we get? We get an acquaintance that has an office in that stretch. They said since they've done it a few years ago, I think he's seen two bikes use it. Mm-hmm. If that's not your priority, folks, we got to do something in May. We have to do something in May. We've had a couple of campaigns kicked off. Reed Sund, who will be our guest on the last day at the last Newsmakers of the Year. We're going to have Reed Sund here to talk about his plans for the campaign and for the city once we elect him. And Jose Gonzalez has kicked off his campaign with an event recently. There are people, we need a change of guard. And that's the point of telling you, you know what, look around. We like to complain, right, in America, in the culture. We're complaining about what should be, but we also have to recognize that's an incredible legacy and track record for Mayor Taylor and Anna Peterson and now Mayor Bennett. And Mayor Bennett is trying to get some things done, and he ends up getting thick in the woods, some of these distractions that, frankly, we don't think should be priorities in the city of Salem.
Yeah, I wonder how much is, you know, let's deter people from moving here. Let's deter growth. Let's deter, you know, it's more of a deter government, especially in Western Oregon now than there is a building government.
Indeed. All right, we're going to take a break. Is Dave still in line, by the way?
Dave's still on the line.
Hey,
he
Dave.
He might have ordered by now.
Let's find out if our food's coming.
You forgot about me.
I didn't.
We never forget about you, Dave.
No, I appreciate that.
Getting Dave to work at KYKN is one of the good things that's happened in the last 20 years, huh?
Oh, well, thank you.
We'll add you to the list.
Thanks, City Council. Oh.
Wow.
Hey, did you get to order?
No, the drive-through line that I was in, they have them in three lanes. And I'm one car behind the cone, and they stopped our lane, so now they're letting one of the other ones go.
So how long have you been in line?
I checked in at 10:37 at the Volcano Stadium.
Okay.
And now I'm up to the actual place where you're actually going to order.
All right, just short of 2 hours.
Yes.
Well,
there's also an outside line, by the way. I wanted to let you know that the people are parked and they're in line outside of the building.
For counter service, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no surprise there. I've been in ones that are long established where, you know, I was in Fremont in Las Vegas, and they have one in there. And, you know, it was the line out the door. But when you're going in, they're moving so fast. You're in and out once you actually get in the door real
Hence
quick.
Hence the name.
Hence the name. Well, the longer you're in line, the hungrier I'm going to get. So maybe we should add some
you
fries
and me both.
To that. Yeah. Because now you can smell the burgers, but you can't quite reach them yet.
And I didn't have breakfast.
Well, I'll leave it up to KYKN to be right on this breaking news and sacrificing for all of our listeners to make sure, you know, we send Dave Bourne out there.
That's right. There's the sacrifice, you know. Poor guy. We feel so bad for you.
No, you don't.
All right, Dave, we're going to take a break. Carry forth. Bring us some food. It's Dave Bourne over in the In-N-Out Burger at Kaiser Station. He'll tell you how long he had to wait and how yummy it is when we get him back in the studio. Stick with us, folks. I'm Brent DeHart here with Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. That Rich Kansky, they've got their hands in a lot of beautification efforts throughout this whole region and community. I see a lot of things in the Facebook feed and the news about they've got a Christmas tree farm. Location, their new location. They flock them. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they're selling Christmas trees, and we've actually got an offer on halfpriceoregon.com for the Green Acres shop down there, and you can use it towards buying those Christmas trees.
No.
So. Yeah, get to halfpriceoregon.com, get your gift certificate, and help afford that Christmas tree, because they're getting spendier and spendier.
They are. Did you buy a tree this year?
We did. We had to search around and find, I think we ended up paying $40 for about a 6-foot tall tree.
Yeah.
One place we went to was about $10 a lineal foot. So,
wow.
Oh, yeah. They get spendy.
Yeah, that's a lot more expensive than it was just a couple of decades ago around here. You pretty much got your own to get $5, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's the way. I think they still offer up permits if you're willing to, you know, trench out in the snow on the mountain and look for that perfect tree for $5 or so. We did it one year when my oldest was very young and decided, you know, we're just out there, you're searching, and finally you just go, okay, that one's close enough.
Yeah, very funny.
Cut it down, get it home, and you go, man, this is an ugly tree.
Thanks for joining us in Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here with Hunter. We've got Dave Bourne waiting in an idling car, KYKN van over at In-N-Out Burger, and he's going to bring us some lunch. A couple of things I want to talk about before the hour is up. We're going to bring in Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike, their weekly segment, and telling us what their view, and actually, if they don't know what to talk about, I got something I want to ask them about their views on the world. I mentioned earlier, the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce had a public policy session with Acting Police Chief Jerry Moore, now retired police chief, but acting in that capacity anyway, probably for months on end, as long as we can get away with it. We'll take him. And Operations Commander Eric Ladd of the Marion County Sheriff's Department. All right, a couple things that I wrote down on this. It was really interesting, a conversation, and the ensuing conversation with the people who were in the room. One person flat out said, you know, it's hard to draw the distinction because we talk about these poor people in the elements, and then we talk about, well, they're criminals and drug addicts, and then we're talking about all sorts of perspectives on why homeless is homeless and whose problem it is and what we want you to do about it. One person commented, you have to be careful. You're not just, quote, enabling squatters who can't, oh, and enabling squatters who can't be afraid to tell the truth in fear of appearing not nice.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation because you're either mean or you're too nice or you're enabling or you're helping. I mean, where is the line? Where do they get drawn? It's a tough one.
And where are they going to go is a question if we do disperse them from a downtown core or from a riverfront park area and so forth. Commander Ladd said there's 93,000 people that live in unincorporated Marion County. We think of Marion County of, you know, Salem and Kaiser and Woodburn and even Aurora, right? And people living in cities. There's 93,000 people in unincorporated Marion County. They have to police 1,100 square miles. That is a task. 1,100 square miles for you. So you can imagine if they get a concentrated need to deal with one issue, how much that bleeds their capacity to help people. And we've talked about this before. A lot of East Salem is in the county. It's not in the city. Mm-hmm. So a city cop's not going to reply because you're not in the city, even if they could be the first one on scene.
I live outside of the city. I'm in Northeast Salem, and I am outside of city limits. I don't get to vote on city stuff.
Oh, well, I guess we can't run you for city council as well.
Not anytime soon.
So Jan Ray area, Four Corners area, the Target Center, the center across the street from the Lancaster, well, the Willamette Town Center. Willamette Town Center is in the city of Salem. The Target Center is not in the city of Salem. So that's a whole jig-jag up and down Lancaster Drive. Okay, a couple things about the county and why we can't just throw everybody in jail. There's 450 beds, 15 beds, I believe. The building's 30 years old, so that is larger than a lot of the Marion County towns that they have to police as far as the capacity of how many people are going to live there. He said 50% of the people who are coming into the jail are homeless. That's enormous, people. Mm-hmm. This is from Marion County Sheriff Commissioner Ladd. 50% are homeless. And 40% of those report, they just self-report they have mental health problems.
Yeah, and you know, it's a lot of petty crime. That's what a lot of that is. It's minor theft, it's drug use, it's drug, you know, those kinds of things. And, you know, that's a tough one to deal with when it's 50% are homeless people that are coming in and out because they might just be looking for a bed for a night. So I'm going to go out and commit a little crime and get thrown in jail for a night or two and have a warm place to sleep.
And if they're waiting, if you have people there waiting to appear in court, and somebody has to get released once you're at capacity. So somebody has to be released, and maybe it was somebody who broke into your house, somebody who is on meth and broke into your house and endangered your family and stole your belongings, but they're going to release them for jail because they have to accept somebody else that the police are dropping off or the sheriff's deputies are dropping off. Let me ask you, how much do you suppose Marion County spends on medications, prescription medications, for people coming to the jail with mental health issues?
A lot.
$200,000. $200,000. Because once they're there, you know, they have responsibility for them to be in a safe place and have some medical screening or care at least, especially if they should be on EDS and they are not. But $200,000 a year is going in the Marion County public safety budget just for medications for people with mental health issues who are homeless that end up in the jail. And half of that $200,000, psychiatric meds. So this has to do, I mean, it's all interconnected with what we have done over the years, folks. Mental health used to be centralized with the state, and they decentralized it and thrust it upon the counties in 1992. So we're running on 25-plus years when they decentralized the mental health resources. So now it's on the county. And you can see the kind of cost, both in personnel and dollars, that it costs. So you brought this up. And the chief mentioned it, and I had to write it down because he was clearly frustrated because we're putting the police in a quasi-social service agency, right? Oh, yeah. They're calling them, and we've seen the numbers, over $4 million of the costs of the police dealing with the homeless issue in Salem. A quasi-social service agency. Well, nobody goes to the police academy saying, I sure hope I spend my day telling homeless people to move along. I sure hope I spend my day dealing with mental ill people who are antisocial.
That's the job they give to the hero of a movie when they're first starting out in the police department. It's you get to go do traffic tickets and shuffle the homeless along, and then they turn into some star, you know.
So Chief Moore was saying, you know, these calls are coming on all day long that are, quote, not criminal in nature. They're the police, but they're dealing things that are, quote, not criminal in nature. And, you know, the implication there was that we can't go out and do our jobs of making the neighborhood safe and reducing crime and investigating crimes and holding bad guys accountable, because we're all day long, we're getting calls for Salem police to respond to things that are not criminal in nature. That, you know, welfare checks, mental health calls, and so on and so forth. The one question I had real quickly was parole and probation. And a lot of times we should probably have a guest on to talk about the system. People forget what an enormous system that is for people who are on parole or on probation and they're under supervisory rules. Of the people who are homeless was my question. When we count them, when we interview them, we talk to them, how many of those people have been released from incarceration or are on parole or probation? Only 8%. That really surprised me.
Yeah, that's a low number. You'd think with 50% of the people going in that number would be significantly higher.
Yeah. It was a really interesting conversation. I want to thank the Chamber of Commerce for hosting it. It is the place where the community conversations take place. In my opinion, and I heard other people say it in the room, at least at this meeting, I tried to shut up and just listen. But we deinstitutionalized a lot of people in the name of being, oh, that's not fair, or, oh, let's be compassionate. Let's mainstream them. And we, in the name of that type of do-gooderness, what do you want to call that? I don't want to put labels on people, but in the name of compassion, we deinstitutionalized people, and we ended up being inhumane by creating a homeless situation where they are potentially dying from the elements because they do not have any supervision. It backfired. It backfired. There was one more quote, and then we got to take a quick break. What we did is we turned people out who can't take care of themselves, and that's a recipe for disaster. And I believe I wrote it down. I didn't say it. I believe it was Commander Ladd, but either way, turning people out who cannot take care of themselves for mental health reasons, addiction reasons, handicap reasons, that's a recipe for disaster. And now we have a homeless disaster. Got to take a quick break. Hopefully Dave Bourne is on his way with our burgers. In the meantime, we'll bring in Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike. Stick with us, folks, on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This portion of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Centers.
Thank you, Sergeant Mike. This is Brent DeHart. We've got Dave Warren still on the phone. I'm thinking he's still in the KYKN van in Kaiser Station getting us some burgers. How's the In-N-Out going?
I'm in the drive-thru line still.
Oh, you haven't ordered?
No, not yet.
Cowboy Ron wants one.
He does now?
Yeah, I deliver it to gun crafters. I'll pay for 20 of them. I'll take 20.
That'll cost you.
I hope you got plenty of gas.
I had to turn it off.
Oh,
well, yeah. We welcome to the segment, Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron. Once a week, we try to get their perspectives of a different generation. Not that far removed from mine, but guy who, let's say, you're growing in wisdom and that takes on the world. Sergeant Mike, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind right now is a grocery store. I was just I was trying to compare a grocery transaction to the United States and Ukraine. Before, if I pick my groceries and I head out to the car without paying for them, somebody's going to grab me. In fact, they're not going to let me get out of the store with those groceries until I pay for them. Any transaction, there's currency coming from both sides. And even if Trump said, you're not going to get this till you change that leader, whoever he is, that's not a crime. That's an agreement. And it's just more and more of the same old baloney. Now, my partner here today brought me a sign from a big boy restaurant somewhere. And on their reader board, it says, our chocolate cake is so rich, the Democrats want 90% of it. So...
That's pretty good.
It is good.
I like a little political humor. You were talking before the break, or during the break, Cowboy Ron, global warming's on your mind.
Well, it's pretty hard for me. We've talked about this a number of times. So since the Earth is drying up, the smart people with the Earth drying up and water disappearing have changed their agricultural use, the way they farm. Go back to the Dust Bowl back in the 30s where everything dried up.
Yeah.
I just came back from North Dakota and Montana, -4, -7. You know, old Mother Nature's pretty good. But I wanted to note that we had some poor tourists that were injured and some killed in New Zealand by a volcano. It'd be like going to Yellowstone to a super volcano. And I told my wife when we visited Yellowstone 2 years ago, let's get out of here. And because the Old Faithful would blow and one slip of the plate underneath of us and we're all fried.
Yeah.
But the global warming issue for the children to be coming out of schools and saying that we've got to do something about it. We are doing something about it. We've given all of our industry to China and different countries that don't care about pollution. But I want to tell you, there's 35, 36 volcanoes in the world right now, and they have put out more carbon than we have man has in a lifetime since the beginning of creation.
Yes, yeah, since the beginning. Oh, yeah, we were created, by the way.
Yeah.
That wasn't a big blast. That was creation.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it with the kids. I mean, come on, leave the kids alone and teach them the real thoughts of the world.
So you're concerned about what they're educating the kids on?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's liberalism and socialism. They're brainwashing them into global warming, and it's ludicrous.
Well, thank you for that. Can I cycle back to Ukraine a little bit?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd like to talk about Mr. Biden, too.
Mr. Biden. Well, so here's my thing about, I'm watching a little bit of news, and they're always, and those guys that testified last week, and they were saying the president demanded that Ukraine meddle in the elections. As if that, now that's your conclusion. What he demanded was you investigate, you know, the corruption.
Right.
Right. And so they make this jump. Well, because Biden is a candidate, therefore it is a political move and therefore it is meddling with the elections. And they're just jumping right to that conclusion.
Yes.
So my brain is looking at a very high level, an historical level, saying because someone declares a candidacy, does that mean they should be exempt from being investigated for corruption?
We need absolutely. To know
that's what they're saying.
Yeah,
he's running for president, so we can't investigate him.
We better investigate him, you were talking about the fellow from the governor from Maryland that was the vice president.
Let's draw a parallel. Let's say we didn't find out that Spiro Agnew was corrupt until after, right? He ended up after Nixon being a candidate for president.
Yeah.
But he was corrupt, which we found out, and he was left off. A lot of people forget that he had to resign before Nixon resigned.
Yeah, you're out of here.
So if Spiro Agnew had been a candidate for president and hadn't been caught yet, should he be exempt from being investigated because he's
not
a candidate?
All. Not at all.
So why should Biden be exempt from being investigated?
He shouldn't be. That's what I've been harping on.
Somehow I thought you guys would agree with me.
Yeah, go back and get him. Go back 8, 10 years and get him.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's corrupt. I don't even know if he's unethical. I don't know.
But if we dig in there, we'll find out.
But when the president says, hey, look into this for us? Can you look into this for us? You know, I don't get the crime.
Well, Brent, I'll tell you what. I think the Democrats want this thing to be gone. They opened up a keg of worms. Oh. They got a lynch mob. If they need Wyatt Earp to calm it down and find out the true source, what's going on, and get it done.
I like the people that bring up the history. That's why I like having you gentlemen around, because you remember that Spiro Agnew was the president, was the vice president, and he caught his hand in the cookie jar.
Yep,
and had to resign, and that's how we ended up with Gerald Ford, folks. Right, and as vice president just before President Nixon resigned, and then we get the first president who had never been elected to either party, or either office. So, and then the people who remember 20 years ago and what they said about the Clinton impeachment. And I like the people that have the historical knowledge that remember, didn't you say this about the impeachment proceedings and they were actually
crimes? Why don't we know about Joe? He never talked to his son. Yeah, never talked to his boy.
Apparently that's what he said.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe with all this news, maybe the Ukraine's going to end up a vacation hotspot.
I'll tell you something that I see. Again, it's a drastic mistake by the Democrats.
Totally.
They chose to bring this into the forefront in the middle of Christmas and New Year's when everybody's preoccupied with everything else. I mean, that's asinine. Stupid. I mean, why would you do that? Because they don't know what they're doing in that. I mean, you wait till you can get everybody's attention, like January.
Well, look how embarrassing it is for the news media. What are they going to do now? Trump's acquitted. Okay, what are we going to talk about now?
Yeah, they'll find a thing. Maybe they'll start the proceedings all over again. Or maybe they'll go back to work. Huh? Hey, folks, thanks for being here. We got Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike here. And I want you guys to have a great rest of the afternoon. Hopefully we can get some burgers from In-N-Out and Dave can bring it. Thanks for joining us for Newsmakers. We're going to have another great show tomorrow, so stick with us on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.